Okay, the third question, Mr. Chow, is death. How do we pass?
Ah, now, this follows on from a conversation I was having yesterday. Gentleman was asking about death in a roundabout way. And we were trying to reassure him, if you like, of what life truly was like. But our opportunity to speak to him was limited, and so we felt our answer was limited. And I wanted really to give a more comprehensive answer. Firstly, the big problem again with humanity is fear. And no matter how we skirt around it, we still come back to the issue of fear. And the good majority, vast majority of humanity is terribly afraid of dying. But when you tackle them on it, it often comes down to how do you die? And again, that feeds back into your health, it feeds back into suffering, which we have been discussing this morning. Stop looking at how are you going to die and start respecting the fact that you are going to die. Because all the time you're focusing on the how, your fear is actually getting the better of you. Because the fear is the one that keeps coming up with these more and more horrendous ways to die. All of which often have nothing to do with what your soul has agreed to do in the first place. So fear is the first thing to tackle with death. In many ways, humanity would benefit from stop calling it death, for a start. Because the word itself holds so much negativity now that it needs to be released. So, in that instance, the rest of this question I'm going to frame with regard to transformation. Because the end of your physical life is about you transforming back into spirit. Now, for those of you who are not fully aware of the nature of things, you start your existence in spirit. And then you are born into a physical vessel to learn lessons and to have a physical life. And then you return back to spirit again, and so on, repeating that cycle. So we always laugh about spirit being the afterlife, because from where I'm standing, you're in the afterlife. So firstly, you need to stop looking at things in finality. The end of one's physical life is not final. It is merely transitional. All that ends is the flesh. The consciousness, the soul, all returns back to spirit. And at that moment, when it's time for the soul to return, we were trying to describe it to the man yesterday. And we were trying to explain that it's like going through a door. But if you imagine for a moment what it would be like for astronauts when they go into from physical world, which is heavy with gravity, into space where there is no gravity. That's the closest analogy you have to what it feels like when the soul steps out of the physical vessel and back into being pure energy. You feel light, truly weightless. You still have shape and form like a body, because it takes you a while to step back into be pure energy. But initially, you feel weightless. So you leave the heaviness of a physical body behind, and you step through a seeming door into weightlessness, into true light. You are never alone at that moment. You are always accompanied. Sometimes the energies, beings in spirit that you have known and loved, step into the physical to lead you through the door. Sometimes they are waiting on the other side of the door for you. But they are always there, no matter what you manifest for yourself as being the spirit plane. They are always there. Now you can send them away, or you can embrace them, that's up to you, but they are always there. You never cross alone. As you leave the body and you step back into spirit, the overwhelming emotions that come through tend to stimulate you into being back into spirit. Because true emotion only exists in the physical plane, not in the spiritual plane, the first thing you start to do is you start to lose some of that emotional vocabulary. And you are struck, if you like, overwhelmed most of the time by the singular emotional vocabulary we have in spirit. And our singular vocabulary is love. In all its many facets, that's all we have. So the first thing the soul needs to absorb, if you like, is that one singular emotional state. And that tends to trigger off the remainder of the transformation, the need for the reflection and the conclusion of the life and the resolution of the life before becoming spirit again. But what happens to the physical vessel? The physical vessel then ends. And it is possible for the soul to cross through that door before the vessel takes its last breath. Now, there is not a long time frame before one and the other, minutes generally. But sometimes it's why people feel the body is vacant. And it's because it is. The soul has left. But the body is still on automatic pilot, if you like, because the neurons and the nerves are still reacting to signals that have already been sent. So the body can breathe a little while longer until it also ends. No matter what the body is going through, once the soul is ready to leave, it ceases to acknowledge what the body is going through. So if you like, as it gets ready to leave the vessel, it's already disengaged from the vessel. Now, the reason for explaining this is watching a loved one die in pain. It's only the flesh that's in pain, it's not the soul. At the end, when the soul is ready to go, it completely disengages from that pain. It disengages from whatever the body is experiencing, and it crosses in peace. There is no lingering, if you like, for the soul. The soul knows when it's time to go, and it goes. A soul might stay longer for loved ones around to ensure they are ready. Yes, that does happen. But it is choosing to do that. So it isn't suffering for that choice. It is a willing choice. But once it is truly ready, it disengages from what is going on with the body. And often in that instance, you'll see that the person doesn't appear to be there, even though the body is there suffering. And that's because the soul has already started to disengage, ready to cross. And quite often that occurs in victims who are left in comas, that sometimes the soul can depart quite a long time before the body is allowed to end. Not always. But sometimes, especially in cases where the brain is very badly damaged, the soul, recognizing that damage, disengages, ready to depart. But it doesn't take the pain with it. It understands the pain, but it doesn't take it with it. It can't. There is no pain in spirit. We are not physical, we are energetic. So we cannot experience pain. Only the physical vessel you are in can experience pain. So as that soul disengages and steps back into being its spirit, there is no pain. There is no suffering. Now, there may not be peace, but that is the soul's choice for there not to be peace. And it will be assisted into getting peace as quickly as possible, because ultimately that's what we want. But for the vast majority, there is instantaneous peace. A transcendent peace, if you like. Many of you who meditate may have experienced these moments of utter tranquility, where it's completely through your entire being, and it's fleeting, but the memory of it lasts. That's just a tiny particle of what the soul experiences in the transcendence of peace. if it allows itself to experience it, it gets the full force of it. Because that's the spirit energy reawakening to the one emotion of love. And actually, every soul that crosses back to spirit is celebrated. Because we rejoice in you coming home. We are not saddened when you choose to leave us and to be born into the flesh again, because we understand the process and we know the need of it. But we do absolutely rejoice when you come home, because we want to know what you've learned, because we want to see how you've grown. Because for us it is the most wonderful thing to have gone through a physical experience, because we know it is about our evolution. If humanity could embrace just some of that thinking, you would stop fearing death. You would start reveling in the gift of life. Start enjoying all of what you can experience while you're here. Because it's a marvel. Touch is a marvel. Pain is a marvel. All of this wonderful, elaborate arrangement of emotions you have are a marvel. They are all gifts, tiny little blessings. Death is not about an end. Death is about understanding that the gift is finished. It's complete. It's resolved. It is not a suitable word in English. Death is a celebration of the fact that the soul has completed its journey. An analogy for you is the marathon runner. Running 26 miles, endlessly running the same route, running, and finally reaching the finish line. In that joyous moment of crossing that line, that's what the soul feels. It's done it. It's succeeded. It's achieved everything it needed to achieve, because now is the moment it's ready to go home. That's the nearest sensation we can give you that you would understand. That absolute and total joy, that is death. Does that answer question?
Yes, it does. Excellent, Mr. Chow. Just a little break, please.